Lodge and Hopewell Gardens. Do all the things you wanted to do all summer, all day, all night. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Call 1-800-441-4410 for reservations at Pocono Gardens and beautiful Mount Airy Lodge.
Hello and welcome from live. Well, it's not live. I keep saying it's live. It's not really live. You can't do a live podcast. Live from Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. We are here in our hotel room. It's me and Ryan Daly. Hello, Ryan.
How are you?
I'm very good. We're having a lot of fun, are we not?
We are having a ton of fun.
I drank a little too much, but that's okay. I'm recovering slowly in this day here. We are in the middle of the con. This episode of FW Presents is another installment of my Mountain Comics series. And, of course, these are the books that I bought in the Poconos when we were on vacation when I was a kid. And this one, the book in question is Avengers number 213, The Court Martial of Yellow Jacket, which was on sale in August 1981. This one is a really particularly beloved Mountain comic because I love this book so much. I had my parents take a photo of me holding it in front of the fireplace, and it is the photo that adorns my book, Hey Kids Comics, Two Left Tails on the Spinner Rack. And 2 years ago, when I made the pilgrimage back up to the Poconos after not having been there for 20 years, I brought this comic with me and recreated the photo. So now we have two photos, which you can actually see on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. If you go to the hosts page, my icon are those two photos. 35 years apart. So I am a giant nerd for this particular comic, and Ryan was nice enough to join me to talk about this one. Now, I had this comic at home. We were originally going to do this at some point over Skype, but I realized, well, Ryan's here. Why can't we just do it? And so I bought another copy. Mm-hmm. I found it in a dollar box. So, you know, you can't beat that. So for a dollar.
Somebody doesn't have the same Mountain comic experience.
Exactly. Yeah. This is more beloved to me than probably even is to Jim Shooter, who wrote it. It's got a great cover. It features Yellow Jacket looking shameful and under the spotlight as Captain America, the disembodied heads of Captain America, Wasp, Iron Man, and Thor, looking on. Now, my rule about no necks is violated here because you see the hero's neck. For some reason, this one doesn't bother me as much. But overall, I think it's a good cover. I like it.
Too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is my own story about this. Similar to when we did the Treasury Cast episode talking about that Spider-Man issue, I have only read this one within the last couple of years. But I have known about this comic for a long time because at some point along the way, I saw this cover and okay. I loved it. Like, I've always just like, I want to read that story. And eventually I got a chance to. But just, yeah, the cover. I wasn't reading it at the time because, as you said, this was a August 1981 book. My cover date is September 1981. So
yeah, this is by Jim Shooter.
Yeah.
Bob
the
Hall.
Jim Shooter, but this is, having gone back and reread a lot of these old ones, this is a particular, I have a fondness for this era of the Avengers comics.
Oh, yeah.
I love the saga of what happens with Hank, and I love what happens with Janet after this issue. So this is, I do love this issue.
Yeah, this was only a couple issues after Tigra joined mm-hmm. the team. Mm-hmm. This was like their big membership shakeup, and they yep. had Tigra join. And that, I'll have to do a whole other comic, a whole other episode about that issue, the membership issue, because that's a fun issue where it's just all these members show up and there's like this big scrum about who's going to be
cover
a member.
Too, the different squares and faces.
Yeah, it's great. It's so much fun. But anyway, so in this one, the setup is in the previous issue, like Yellow Jacket has improperly endangered the team yep. and they're putting him on trial. And the trial is just Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man, and the opening splash page is Yellow Jacket with his back to the camera. And I just love, first of all, Captain America is sort of taking the lead, mm-hmm. as you would expect. But I love this, the body positioning of Thor, pensively yes. leaning on Millionaire, yes. just looking very serious. I think that's a great grabber of an opening image.
Like, the way he's sitting, I mean, the table and Yellow Jacket's leg are kind of covering him, but he has this kind of hunched look that it really widens his legs, and his cloak is, like, his cape is going up and billowing back very voluminously. Like, elements of that really remind me of what Walt Simonson mm-hmm, would eventually mm-hmm. do with the character. And so it's a very cool look. But yeah, with the hands folded in front and his chin kind of lowered down on them, that's a really cool look.
Yeah, and this is like the last thing these guys want to be doing.
Is
taking one of their oldest friends. So then we go through a little bit of the trial and they ask Hank to sort of like, you know, can you explain yourself? And he even says no explanation. Now waiting outside is Wasp. His wife, Janet Van Dyne, in one of her most sort of hoochie mama outfits, costumes. I mean, it is designed for maximum skin exposure.
Yeah, she's got her like bare thighs revealing with like thigh length boots, very revealing plunging neckline.
Yeah,
like it doesn't look like any kind of wasp. But again, this might be the only issue she ever wears this outfit, because this was again the era where she was going through a new costume every two or three issues.
I think there's an issue right around this time that literally goes through all her costume changes. Yeah. Like, and it, like, it's like a number 98 white boots, red, you know, this, and then it just goes through every one of them. So yeah. And waiting with her outside is Tigra, who's new to the team. She's not taking this terribly seriously.
And you can see what Shooter is doing. This issue will be famous for one particular moment above all else.
Yes.
But you can see where it's playing, because Janet is like fiercely devoted to her husband and can't understand why he's going through this. He's having this problem. He's freaking out. He feels a brush. When he comes out of there, she goes to him. She's like, "What's going on? Help me!" And he basically just brushes her off.
Yep.
He puts his hand up. He's like, "Don't touch me. Don't talk to me."
Yep.
And he storms off. And she's like, "I don't get it." And she runs off to console him, to take care of him. And Tigra's just sitting there going, "What are you doing? You're a rich, beautiful woman. This guy is kind of a loser, and he doesn't even treat you well.
Yep.
Why are you with this guy?" Which is a question a lot of women ask of their friends, and a lot of friends ask this.
Yeah, that's a great moment for Tigra, where she's like, "I do not get it. Yes. Like, what is it? This guy seems like such a drip." Right.
And it's funny because she is the new character. She is the character who can ask that question.
Right.
Because she doesn't have the history. I mean, for everybody else, Hank and Jen have always been a couple.
Right.
They've always been together. But she's the one who's like, why are they together?
I don't get this. And I know that I think Tony Isabella has had some issues with the way Jim Shooter wrote Tigra, because that's his character, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think he said that, like, he doesn't know why Jim Shooter reduced her to, like, a slut. And I never quite got that. She's very free sexually in terms of, like, she talks about what a hunk Thor and Captain America are. But I'm like, I thought that was fun. As a kid, at least, when I read it, I liked that. I liked that you had one member of the team that was, like, you know, it was kind of almost like a fangirl that happened to be to join the team.
And
you know?
Given how much women are generally sexualized in comics anyway,
to have a
female character comment on the beefcake aspect when you've got these guys in a room.
These walking mountains of muscle.
Exactly.
Plus, you know, this is a character that goes around in a blue bikini. Right. I don't know how much more sexualized you could make her.
Yeah.
So then the team disperses. They go through their individual routes, and they all have this moment of like, you know, who are we to judge Yellowjack? And there's this great flashback back to World War II where Captain America almost beheaded a child with his shield.
Just because he heard the name wrong. And he says the question, "There before the grace of God go I," when he's thinking about Hank. He's like, "I could have made that same mistake." He just jumped the gun and almost screwed it. It's like, "And it is my right to judge this guy."
Yeah. It's a nice moment. And so then Iron Man goes through a history of the team, flashback, and we see all the different iterations. Because, of course, Hank Pym and the Wasp have been members since number one. They're the oldest members of the team possible, and we see that he was Giant Man, and then he was Goliath, and then the whole thing with Ultron and the Vision. I love this one panel of Ultron, who looks like a garbage can. Like, that is
the original one.
Yeah.
Ultron 1, yeah.
Yeah, I will post that on the gallery page, because I just love that he looks like you could just knock Ultron over if you really tried. So then we get into him being Yellowjacket and all their problems, and Iron Man's kind of like, I really hope that they'll make it out. And they had such difficulty. So then we go back to their house, and we get to see a little bit of the life between these two. And there's this there's this bit of dialogue that is just like, I have to say, when I was 12 years old, this was pretty amazing to read, where she is trying to console Hank, and he's just kind of being dismissive to her. And at one point she says, and part of it is the way she's drawn.
Yeah.
Bob Hall and Dan Green see her. She's sitting on the side, the arm of this chair, in a very provocative pose. And she says, I'm sorry, I hate to feel uncomfortable saying this to Ryan while we're in the room together. But he says, "Oh, Hank, let's just sneak off to bed and cuddle and kiss you. And let me show you how much I love you. What do you say, big boy?" And you're like, what is wrong with this guy that he is like, "Nah, I'd rather be down in my lab tinkering with my robotic bugs. Like, what is the matter with you?" You know? But I said, that was a big moment for a 12-year-old to read, because you didn't normally hear comic book characters talk like that. It was kind of like, wow, this is... And there's nothing untoward about it. They're a married couple, but it's like, Janet's just like, "Let me just be nice to you," and he can't do it. And so she sheds more tears, and then she gets frustrated with herself that she's this way. And we see him again working on another robot, and we see what's going on there. Then we go to Avengers Mansion, and we see Tigra, who sleeps in the nude like a cat, which is a fun trick. Jarvis delivers her stipend.
Yes,
her. Which is a whole, which is something she didn't know about, where being a member of the Avengers, you get a check for being a member of the Avengers. And there's this great moment where she looks at the check, and she's like, Jarvis, this check. And he's like, oh, if it's not enough, I'm sure Mr. Stark will gladly increase it. And she's like, are you kidding? And she literally starts dancing and singing because she's rich, and she gets to be a superhero on top of it.
Yeah, she's leaning over backwards over the banister of the stairwell. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I love her little finger underneath Jarvis's chin. I think that's
it's like a playful character.
Yeah, it's such a great little moment. So then we cut back to what's going on with Iron Man, and he's, of course, as Tony Stark, he's in some big business meeting, and then Thor's in the middle of surgery. We come back, Captain America, we all make it, Captain America is there, he's waiting for them all. The next morning, Wasp is in her nightgown, and she wants to know, like, Hank hasn't even come to bed, so she goes down to their secret vault to see what's going on, and Hank has built this, like, 15-foot-high robot, and when it gets it sees Wasp and it shoots a beam at her automatically, and then he actually tries to crush Janet with his fist as if she was a bug.
Mm-hmm. He sees her as an intruder and he freaks out because he's building this robot that he calls Salvation One because he's so big on names. And again, his plan is he's actually built a threat to attack the Avengers. That he can then defend, that he can then save, he can stop this thing with a built-in weakness to convince them that he has value to the team, that they would be wrong to kick him off the team. He's going to put them in danger so that he can save them, so that he can trick them into thinking that he shouldn't. He is that lost.
Yeah,
he
good
is,
plan, Hank. Good plan.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And she discovers this, and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, he freaks out. He's like, why are you spying on me? She's like, we're married.
What the heck are you spying on? Mm-hmm. So then he demonstrates that he, as you said, he built it with a weak spot. It's like one of the snowtroopers. You know, you zap it in the neck and it'll stop. And then we see that it falls automatically. And it's made of, like, adamantium or whatever. Then later on, she says to Hank, Hank, this is a terrible idea. Don't do this. And he backhands her and slaps her across the face. And that's pretty tough.
Slap heard around comic book world.
Yeah, that's pretty tough to look at. And, you know, we can talk about this maybe at the end of the show or whatever, but we are now, like, you know, we have talked about on the network, on our individual shows, about we don't like the sort of grim, dark versions of these characters. And yet I completely accepted this because I was 12 when I read it. Mm-hmm. I could see if you're a fan of classic 60s Yellow Jacket or Avengers, you're like, why are these characters doing this to one another? I can see you being mad the way we are mad now at the way they've done some of these superheroes.
And I have mixed feelings about the story. And again, once we get to the end of it, I'll talk more about it. But a lot of it has to do with the sort of the double-edged sword of comicdom and what this meant for the story and what it means for the characters going forward in the sense that these characters can't really change that much.
Right.
But we'll get to it. So yeah, he slaps her and what you're backhands her to get her off because she's like clinging to him and he storms off.
Yeah.
And she's laying there crying and
tells her to get ready. Not only that, he's like, you have to come with me to the meeting. And so they go and she shows up with sunglasses on.
The battered wife walking in with sunglasses.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of like, this is odd.
Yeah. So they have the whole meeting and Yellow Jacket goes on this long speech, which is six panels of him just talking where he's getting more and more accusatory to the Avengers. And, you know, he's like, he's angry and he's...
Each panel is zooming in on him.
He's getting closer and closer.
It's just like you're just looking at his mouth and you'd imagine like spittle would be coming
out. Yeah.
And the perfect pull away, because after we've been zooming in on him the entire time, it cuts to what the Avengers' reaction. And none of them can look him in the eye. They're all just looking down like
what the hell, dude?
Who are you, dude?
Yeah. So the Wasp gets so upset that she takes her glasses off, and we see her giant bruised
left eye.
And there's the great panel of Thor just looking utterly shocked. And I like that it's a nice human moment because... Like, think of all the crazy shit Thor has seen. You know, literally, he's a god, and even he can be shocked at a simple act of because he knows it immediately that who did this?
Yes.
You know, and he says, "Did he strike you?" And that's when Yellowjacket decides to make things even worse for himself and get out the remote control device, which is going to activate the robot. And I love I love this little bit where she's begging him not to release the release the robot. And in tiny little type, he just goes, "Shut it, woman." And it's like super, like he muttered it under his breath. He's not saying it loud. He's just like, "Shut it, woman." And it's like he's completely gone off the rails. Mm-hmm. So he activates the robot. It comes smashing in. Unfortunately, the thing is way more vicious than Hank had intended. It picks up the shield. It practically cuts Cap in half with it. It knocks out Iron Man. It beats up. And then even when Yellowjacket tries to get a bead on it.
It moves faster.
It moves faster than he anticipated. And it knocks him around, too.
Yeah. So he's like, he's helpless. He can't even stop it. And it's wailing on Thor. And it captures him. And he's unable to shoot it at the one weak spot that he had programmed for it. So his whole plan of stopping this thing before it kills them all is failed because he underestimated it. And, of course, the last thing he wants now is Jan to come in because she's going to save the day because she knows what the weak spot is.
And she zaps it with her wasp sting, and that knocks it out. And he can't live with that, of course.
The fact that he was saved by a woman, the fact that he was saved by his wife, who he's been constantly emasculated in front of, and this is just the worst next step of that.
Yeah. So the robot collapses. They're all just looking at Yellowjacket like, you know, what did you just do? And then he silently just walks out the door and it doesn't look back. And then the final panel is all of them looking out the window and they're talking to Janet and she's got the shiner and her final line is when Iron Man says, "Can we do anything for you?" And she says, "For me, nothing. I'm okay now. You know, I feel like crying, but I don't have any tears left." And that is the end of the story. And it's like, it's a real grabber, you know? It's a one and done in the middle of a larger storyline, which I always liked that. I liked that I read this comic, I think I was buying Avengers at the time because it was one of my favorites. And as we all know, I was a money bag as a kid, so I had tons of money. But I don't recall necessarily reading Avengers every single month, so this one may have just been kind of a one-off in the middle of this story. Mm-hmm. But you get a complete story. It tells you, you know, you want to follow what happens afterwards. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I forgot, this is the very issue that features Wasp's uniform index in the letters page. It gives you all that. But, I mean, this is a great one little story. Mm-hmm. It's really beautifully well done, and I like the art. I think the artwork is good too. It's got some Marvel action with a giant robot, but it's soap opera at its best.
Yeah, and I really liked where this felt like a place that Shooter had to take Hank and Jan. Because what happened after them, I really liked. Like, Hank actually goes to jail for a time, and then he's mixed up with Egghead and sort of lured into. Jan, I think, actually becomes a better character after this, after she breaks up with him. And there's one issue where she starts dating Tony Stark.
Oh, really?
And it's really cool, but she doesn't know he's Iron Man. And it's they have a really cool, like, you can tell that it's a passionate relationship because they've been friends forever and they're both rich and they have this money and like they kind of connect and it's like these would be a real cool kind of fun couple, but like Tony or Iron Man comes back to one of them and Thor and Captain America are like, "What are you doing?" She's the wife, they're not divorced, she's still married to one of your best friends, one of the founding Avengers, and she doesn't know your secret identity, dude. You can't let this go on. And he's like, "We're just having fun." They're like, no, you can't do that. Yeah, as I was saying, like, I love this story in part because I like the characters that it's connected to. Ant-Man, I've just always loved the original Ant-Man costume because I've always liked the Hank Pym character. And I like when he was Yellowjacket because I like the Yellowjacket costume, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really cool design. Unfortunately, because of his weird character history, I think this felt like a natural progression. Like, they kind of needed to do this story to explain or to just capstone his the inconsistency of his characters.
Right, he kept changing names.
Ant-Man to Giant Man to Goliath to Yellowjacket and all these things. And people like, and the fact that at first he was an expert, a scientific genius in the realm of like, you know, molecular biology because he's creating these particles where he can grow or shrink or something. But he's also a super genius at robots and cybernetic technology. Right. This guy is kind of like all over the place. And it's like sometimes he doesn't even want to be a superhero. And sometimes like they create this bipolar guy. It's like, well then, you have to have him have some kind of breakdown. There's got to be a really low point where we see him at his worst. And I like that this is it. I just think because after this point and after striking Jan, after he actually slaps her, The problem is those two characters are so inextricably linked. And with comics, changes are never that permanent. And eventually, I mean, they can break up and they can get divorced, but eventually they'll get back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Ant-Man and Wasp. They're so tied. They're going to have a movie next year.
And, right. That's why there's an Ant-Man and Wasp movie coming.
And, but every time they get back together, it's like, Cap, Thor, are you okay with this? He hit her. They had an abusive relationship. Maybe it was just the one time. Maybe they've like gone to counseling or something. But for another reason is every time they come back, the reader has to be reminded of this history. So the characters can't ever change.
Yep.
So I do think an event like this kind of breaks the characters in a little bit. It is sort of like, you know, like doing something horrible to Sue Dibney.
Well, it's like when Aquababy died. They just could never not bring that up.
And that is something that is going to define and haunt the characters forever when you do something that dramatic, that kind of change. So I think what they needed to do with Hank after this was you couldn't keep him a hero. You couldn't keep him on the Avengers. I think he either needed to be killed off, because pretty soon they would introduce his replacement with Scott
Lang. Right.
Man. Or make him go full villain. Just like have this be the point where his personality snaps and he's just a crazy guy who created Ultron. He got that guilt over him. And I think at this point, and that could have been the original sin of the Avengers, that one of their founding members ends up becoming one of their greatest villains, or just one of their problems, that the curse that never goes away.
That's a neat idea.
Him as a villain, as a permanent villain, would have been interesting, or kill him off. But keeping them together, then you always have to explain it. You always have to apologize for it.
And it makes Wasp look weak that she can't break loose of this guy.
Right. Yeah, but again, because the year or 2 years after this, I really like what they do with Wasp. I like what Shooter and his replacement, was it Michelini? Did he take it over after?
I think so.
I like some of the stories and what they did with Wasp. And she becomes like the leader of the team for a little while after this. And I thought she was a better character after this. But eventually they backslide because of the nature of the comic story.
This was a big. I mean, obviously, at 12 years old, I loved it enough to want to be photographed with it. I was very proud of it, and it's the photo I think of the most when I think of my Mountain Comics, because I'm just so. And I read this book just 1,000 times. Because there's a lot in it. There's a lot of details. There's a lot of moments. I love all the levity with Tigra. I love the idea of being paid to be a superhero. Like, who wouldn't want that? You're like, wow, now you get to be a superhero. You get to live in this giant mansion, and you get a check on top of it, which is fantastic. I just think I like these issues that Shooter did. I really do. I know Jim Shooter's kind of literally a big target. And it's easy to make fun of him because he's got a bad reputation in a lot of ways. But I actually really thought this was an interesting run of stories that he did. And, yeah, this does kind of break the character a little. But, I don't know, it's got a nice Marvel – it's got that, you know, Marvel dramatic, you know, melodrama thing going on. And I really like it. And, you know, that's why I wanted to talk about it, because it's a beloved Mountain comic. You know,
thank you for having me on to talk about it, because I do love this issue. I like mountains.
That's good. They're good. They're necessary. We need them for the earth to survive. So it's good stuff. So, all right, Ryan. So where can people find you on the network?
I am all over this network.
You can find me
with Batman Nightcast, Midnight the Podcasting Hour, Give Me Those Star Wars, Power of Fishnets. If you want to hear my older stuff, I've still got Secret Origins, which is available on the network. Might have a bonus episode of that, even though it's been over for a while.
Ooh,
might have a bonus episode of that coming in the near future. You can also find Red and Green is a webcomic that I co-created with Paul Scovito that is available at risingsuncomics.com. And I just found out recently that we are going to have a print version of that available.
Nice.
For season 2. It's a small little webcomic. And I will apologize right now that the cover of the comic does not represent what is inside.
Okay.
In part, that is by design. All
right.
That is available for order at risingsuncomics.com.
All right, very cool. And of course, you can find all my other shows here on the network. I don't have to go through them all. Follow us over on Twitter, which is at FW Podcast. And we don't have a Twitter feed for this show because it's just the FW Presents. This is our omnibus show. But this is the second Mountain Comic Show. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be doing more. And Ryan and I are still in the middle of having fun here at Heroes Con. Thank everybody for coming, and hope you enjoyed this quote-unquote live episode. So, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys later. Bye.